Edwards is now an official AT&T retailer. Take advantage of exclusive limited-time in-store offers. Get a $100 AT&T Visa reward card when you purchase an AT&T TV package. Switch to AT&T and get a $250 Visa reward card when you buy a smartphone on a qualifying installment plan. Save up to $1,000 instantly when you purchase 4 smartphones on a qualifying plan. Restrictions and exclusions apply. Offer subject to change and valid in-store only. Call 877-252-3220 or go to your nearest Howard's location for details.
If you've ever wondered what it's like to be a black man in America or a police officer in America, our next guest is going to be a great wealth of information for you because he's both. Welcome to the Awakening You podcast, reminding you that the answers are within. My name is Scott Goyette, and I'm your host. Each week in this podcast, I will be sharing some simple yet very useful tools to help you dive deep and discover how infinitely powerful you really are. The show is based on specific growth models created by the Go Love Now movement that will help you choose love and move through your fears. The Love Model, L-O-V-E, stands for listening, observing, voicing, and empathizing. The fear model, F-E-A-R, stands for forgiving, eliminating beliefs that no longer serve you and may have never served you, accepting yourself and others where you or they are at in their journey, and rising up and becoming resilient. During each podcast, my amazing guests will share their experience with using these tools and how you might benefit from using them as well. All information shared during this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. Nothing from this podcast should supersede the directions of a doctor or mental health professional. And today's guest is a great friend of mine who grew up in the Boston area. He's a few things to me. He was a friend, one of those friends that you'd see a lot at parties and see in the neighborhood. We weren't the best of friends, but we always respected each other and enjoyed each other's company when we were around. Now, some of the things that he's doing in his life include being a police officer. One thing I'd also like to mention, too, is he's a black man in America. Welcome, my good friend, Orrin Wright.
How you doing, man?
Good to see you. Doing good. So we've got a lot going on in our country right now. Is that not true?
A little bit.
A lot of heavy hearts, a lot of people trying to figure out what's going on, a lot of emotions. I want to start by asking you, first and foremost, you know, being a black man in America and a police officer at the same time, you must be getting pulled in multiple directions. What does that look like and what does that feel like for you?
Oh, man. It's almost a tough place to begin, but as a police officer, people are demanding fairness, as they should. I'm lucky in my city. It's a melting pot. In the city of Lynn, Massachusetts, where I work, I'm sure you can tell by my accent, it's a very diverse community. And I have to paint this picture. If I approach someone that happens to be a white male, he might turn around and start speaking Russian to me. He might be speaking Spanish to me. He might be speaking Portuguese to me. He might be speaking Greek to me. You know, he might be biracial. Like, you can't really know what a lot of people in my city look like, which is part of the appeal. But like I started to say, as a police officer, people are demanding transparency. And that's countrywide. And I don't want to sit here and say, oh, you know, the Lynn Police Department is just the best ever. We're the only ones that do this and the only ones that do that, because we're not. But we're pretty good. And we, I think, go above and beyond. There's more we can do, but I think we do a pretty solid job considering what's been happening just of late. We've had a lot of protests in our city. I've been right up in the front line of it. And my city, the people have been demanding transparency, demanding fairness, and they have peacefully protested. 400 or 500 people in that mix of 20 or 30 voices of knuckleheads saying nonsense, several people shut them down. We didn't have to budge because they're saying how they feel. And when I say they, now here's my other hat. They're speaking for me too.
Yeah.
I feel like in my city, we're just under 200 police officers. We have 90,000 people on paper, probably more like 110,000 people in total. and we all know who each other are. I might not be specific tight with every officer on the job. How can I be? I have people that I'm tight with, people that are my partners, and in some I just know. But we all know who each other are. So I leave my house wearing a hoodie or whatever. I feel perfectly comfortable. But keeping it real, if I go to the next town over, if I go to Peabody, where you and I grew up,
yep.
I go to Saugus, I go to Revere, I go to Linfield, any place in the border cities, I make sure I have my proper ID. Not that I always do no matter what, but I have my police ID. I have my badge because I haven't had run-ins since I've been a police officer. And the things that happened to me mostly happened before. But I'm not taking any chances either, you know?
Yeah, and that's a really tough thing too, because, you know, we talked about on this show and my other show on Friday nights with Chris Roush. It's sad to see, because one of the people that we were talking about, there was a woman who literally had a breakdown crying because she learned that typically a police officer stop is not a 45-minute process. And she was telling her story saying, oh, I just always thought, you know, she had been stopped like 5 times in her life. There was multiple checks, there was this and that. It was about a 45-minute process. And she came to the realization that it was because she was Black. And that's a really, really difficult. So she broke down and she's like, you mean some people get stopped and they just say, hey, slow down, and it's 5 minutes and there's no check, nothing? And so that really hit home. And we've had this conversation. Another friend of mine, Dwayne Bryant, he wrote the book, Stop, and he's a Black man in America in the Chicago area. And he's sitting in Chicago teaching all these parents the talk that you've got to have with your kids. So when they are stopped by police, how to go about it. And so it's very sad that we have to be in this position so that we have to shift the dynamic and make sure that the police are transparent, but we also make them feel safe and all that stuff. Talk about that a little bit, because you play both roles. You know, you're trying to make somebody feel comfortable in the process of talking to them. But as a Black male, when you're stopped, what do you have to go through with other police officers?
Which hat do you want me to put on first?
You choose.
You know what I'm saying?
You choose. Let's start with a Black man in America.
All right. So the last 6 years of my career, I've been involved directly with the schools. We have 25 public schools and then 5 private or parochial schools in the city. So I've had times to be able to talk to a lot of, you know, young men and women. And I tell them, like I would tell anyone, if you're getting pulled over, just keep your hands on the steering wheel and wait. Let the officer dictate how it goes. And when I say let the officer dictate how it should go, is they're going to come up to your window and they're going to maybe tap on your window or ask you to roll it down. Roll your window down. And they're going to ask for your license and registration. They might say to you, do you know why I stopped you? If you don't know, you don't know. And they ask for your license and registration. I personally think as a man, as a Black man, it's tough and it's sad that I have to say, okay, officer, I'm going in my glove box now. I'm going in my side console now. It's above my visor. I'm going to take my hand and do that and do this. I've had people do that to me. There's been some people that do it just to be fresh, but I've had some people do that to me and they have fear in their eyes and makes me feel horrible for them. It's that I internalize it because I know what they're feeling. I've been pulled over. I've been pulled over since I've been a police officer. It scares the shit out of me. When I'm not in my city that I work in and I'm getting pulled over, it's been a bit, but when it happens, it's like you're scared, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, why am I afraid? It's almost like it's ingrained in me because of things that keep happening, you know? So as a police officer, people do need to understand is car stops and domestic incidents are the two scariest and most dangerous things that we go to. So if I pull a car over, I have no idea what I'm getting into. So we walk up. I'm not taking my gun out, but my hand might be up on the holster until I get close enough and kind of check out the scene. And we kind of make you have to turn your head around. You know, you want to film me while I'm doing it? Okay. But I would be careful about that because what if it's at night? You get some dark object that you're picking up and turning around with. Then who knows what happens at that point. But I don't know what's going through the racist mind of a bad cop that may be racist or may just be an asshole. Like for me, if I'm pulling you over, I'm just trying to get your license and registration. And unless you did something egregious, honestly, I've given more verbal warnings in 23 years than I can tell you. And we're a busy, we're a busy city, man. We yeah. can't be bothered, to be honest with you. We pull people over and they write their own ticket. So we pull you over and you give me a hard time. All right. I'm writing the money site on why I pulled you over. I can guarantee you 99.99% of the time, if you get pulled over in the Lynn, Massachusetts Police Department, we're looking to tell you what you did wrong. Maybe get give you a written warning, which just is a piece of paper saying that we told you a heads up.
And so you just actually said something that was really interesting. I'd love to tap into this a little bit. So you said whether that cop is either racist or just an asshole. And let's really sit with that right now, because a lot of people say there's no such thing as racism. This is just, if we stop talking about it, we're going to have this fun conversation. I mean, we're seeing it right now. Like we have those friends who are saying Morgan Freeman's right. If we stop talking about it, it goes away. Yeah, the system just dismantles itself if you don't talk about it. I mean, we can laugh all day about that.
I'm blown away that Michael Morgan Freeman, of all people, said that.
You what?
I'm blown away that Morgan Freeman said that.
I didn't know, and everyone loves it. And then they love the whole Candace Owens. See, we were right.
Let's
sit with, and I know we want to go down those roads, because we could waste a lot of time with yeah. negativity versus things that can help others and learn from this. So let's talk about that, because there's both. Let's cut all the BS out. There's people who are assholes. There's people who are racist. Let's add a third category. Somebody who just had a really bad day. And unfortunately, you're a police officer. Let's talk about those three things, because here's one thing I heard. You do the same thing that I do, okay? I'm going to be insanely polite, because I don't know what this guy's deal is or what this woman's deal is as they pull me over. I'm going to go through the process. Thank you, sir. Hands on the wheel, sir. I'm reaching in. I'll say the same thing. And I'll just say it very peacefully and calm and just being like, hey, I respect your job. I know it must be tough. Thank you. And that's it. And I'm just like, there you go. Like, no BS.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about the fact we do those things. This person could be one of three things. They could be racist, complete jerk, or they could just be having a horrible day. Talk about that a little bit, because we have the people say, nope, every cop's racist. But we've seen black cops do stuff too. So it's not always racist. Let's talk about all the things a cop can be and what goes into being a cop and why they might have some views that aren't what we really want to hear.
You know, there's a couple more categories. You got badge bullies, I call them. Guys, the last picked on the team growing up, need something to make them feel better about themselves. So then they end up with a badge and a gun. And then you have people that are just afraid.
Yeah.
I feel like some of these guys that have pulled the trigger on people, like, that it's obvious that there was no reason for that to happen. Regardless of what they were, whether they were an asshole, whether they were racist, they were also afraid. Now,
yes.
Here's the piece about that one. I'm no superhero. You know what I mean? There's nothing special about me. I'm not without fear. It's just whether or not you can overcome that and do what you're supposed to do.
Yep.
That's what all the real police officers do. All the police officers that do the job the right way, they're not without fear. They just can overcome that in an instant, in a snap, and do what they need to do and do the right thing, do their best to do the right thing in good faith. Then you got the other guys that are assholes. They're kind of going to the badge bully category. They're just dicks with badges that shouldn't have. I'll save the racist for last. What was the other category?
Having a bad day. I think we were
having
saying
a bad day.
Just having a bad day.
That's why we have vacation days. That's why I get personal days. That's why I have sick days. Hey, I've had rocky moments in my personal life, and I've gone in, and if you don't have the type of job that you can sit behind a desk for a while and get your head together, this is not a job for you. Any place that you're dealing with people, I don't care if you're working at McDonald's, you can't go in there having a bad day. It's not fair to the customer. It's not fair to the people you're working with, teachers, anyone, doctors, anyone is dealing with people. It's bullshit. You go in there like that.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, you burnt out days? Well, I guess you're going to have to take one in the pocket. Not my job. Chris Rock said it great. About, it's a little bit different, but said something effective. Sometimes you have some bad apples. And, you know, a police officer's job is not a job that I feel like you could have some bad apples. Because you can't have a bad apple for a pilot.
Or a surgeon, or a cop.
Or a surgeon. Oh, yeah. We land the plane most of the time and just hope he's having a good day. You know what I'm saying? He usually does the heart transplants pretty good. You should not be allowed to do that. And we, as police officers, also need to police ourselves. You can look at another officer and pull them aside. Be like, hey, you all right? What's up? Just like we do for our friends.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And it's, I know I'm saying you can't. It's more like you shouldn't. And just like I don't want to bring my bad day home. I don't want to bring this young lady with her firstborn accidentally suffocated a child and bring that home with me. You know what I mean? Bring home the dead bodies I saw. And then at the same time, bring my argument I had with my kid, or my kid crashed my car and I'm upset about it, or with my girlfriend, my wife, whatever, and then bring that to work with me. Then what? Not a job that you can be off. Can't be perfect. You're not always going to have the best solution, but that's why we have other officers to reach out to. That's why we have supervisors. I'm man enough to make a mistake. I've worked with brand new people before, and I'm like, man, I don't know what to do with this one. What do you think? And then they give me a good answer. I'm like, bet, let's do that. You're not going to find anyone. The only people more egotistical and A-type personality than a police officer or a firefighter is a professional athlete.
You've gotten there because you're competitive. You weren't a person who was in a collaboration. You were in a competition. And we can argue that some people are team members, but some of the best athletes, some of the cops, there's an ego. And politicians, the same thing. There's an ego that brought them there.
So you have to be able to be collaborative.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And I think that that's something that we could go in a whole different discussion with the educational system, because we're taught to be competitive. Like, it's your grades, your efforts, it's your abilities. No one cares about the grade that said worked well with others that we got rid of in fifth grade. It's instantly, what did you do? And in the real world, we collaborate. And that's something that we need to be, I mean, I guess graded on, but we need to address it. We need to be working with that early on. So a couple of the things, you know, this show is based again on exactly what we're talking about, because it's the love and the fear model. So the love and the fear model that I teach with Go Love Now are listening, observing, and voicing and empathizing. So listening is listening to the intuitive self. Observing is observing your personal needs, when you need a break, when you need a timeout, so that you can be an active observer and serve others, exactly what you're doing. The other thing is checking your inner voice. What if you're having bad day after bad day, saying, I'm not good enough, I can't do this job? What's going to happen? You might start getting fearful. Then your outer voice starts to get a little bit dismissive or aggressive, and you might actually create situations that put you in fear and put you in bad situations. Well, and then the final piece is empathy. And so, you know, I heard you talking about it. You're in your role because the Boston area is the original melting pot of America. It's a melting pot. So being empathetic that this man might speak Greek as his first language and he's struggling to do this, or this person's doing this, knowing that everybody's different, that empathy piece is something that all of us have to step into. And then the fear piece that we talked about is forgiving yourself and others, eliminating beliefs that no longer serve you. Could be racist beliefs, could be gender beliefs. And then we're talking about accepting ourselves and others where we are at in our journey. I mean, we had talked, you know, a few weeks back, we were talking about some of our friends who might have been racist or this or this or this. Here's the deal. And this is something that's very difficult for me. But instead of hating that person or saying, I'd love to punch him in the face, I think things like this. How blessed are we that we're past that, that we can be leaders and be the light to guide those people to a better place? Now, are there days where we're going to say, F that crap and get pissed off? Yeah, because we're human beings. But recognizing we have the ability to accept and move on is huge. And then the other piece that we teach is rising up and being resilient. So it's interesting because I'm listening to the things that you're saying about the police and that you've got to call out your brothers and sisters, you know, within the police department. This is what I'm seeing. You tell me what you think of this. I have watched, especially in our generation, like think of growing up in Peabody, the way men saw women, it was a conquest. It was, you know, oh, I can date her. I can date her. I can date her. Who's the best athlete? Who's the toughest guy? We're all like fighting for our position. The same way that system is broken down more and more, where there's a deeper respect for women and equally women like men who are transparent and sensitive and honest. We don't have to sit here and be fake. I think this is the beginning of the same thing that's happened with that patriarchy. I think we're going to see the same thing happening with police, because a lot of people are saying, change or else we're going to defund you and all this stuff. And a lot of that sounds crazy in the sense that the police play a role, but they're arguing with the way that role is being played. But here's the irony to that. We were taught to be tough, this, 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 this. Now we're in these roles and now you're saying change. Like there's a weird thing in there. Be a tough guy, be a competitor, don't take any crap. Okay, go. Oh no, by the way, you have to be transparent, you have to be more vulnerable, and you have to talk more and communicate. Yeah, we lied about all that. So we've created where we are. How do you see the same way the walls of the patriarchy started to get torn down, and I think there's better communication between genders, how do you see that paralleling to the police force And ultimately, all these people that were trained to do exactly what they're doing, how do we shift those gears? Because we can't fully blame the police officers who are doing what they were taught to do. Right. How do we shift that education and kind of spin things back and heal what's in place now?
Well, you just said something big, education. Mm-hmm. It's all in educating. Are you willing to change if that's not who you are? Are you just going in to work like a robot? And I say you as a police officer, you just going in, I got to do this. I got to arrest bad guys and try and get drug dealers and do this and do that. Yeah. Or I came into the job in 1997 under the community policing model. I was in the first like 4 or 5 years of that wave of community policing. We had guys out going on bicycles. Their job, each sector of the city, they each had a sector and they were to know the neighborhoods, get to know people. That's a huge part of it. I mean, we do sensitivity training, basically a bias training, but I'm forgetting a couple of the terms that are part of the title of the training.
Prejudice, and bias, racism.
Racial bias and just bias, gender mm-hmm. bias, everything.
Sure.
And it's part of, we do an in-service training every year of over 5 days. You know, you get brushed up on CPR, legal updates, defensive tactics, the whole nine, shooting, and a whole day along those lines to learn about people, how to deal with people, how to talk to people. We're being trained in the police academy for 6 months. Then we're getting on the job training with a senior officer. Then we're getting in-service training every year. So you have to add those other things to it. And people have to be man enough to know, I don't know how to do that. I'm not perfect, but I'm lucky with the people that raised me. My mother and aunts and other people were educators. I wouldn't end up the way I ended up if it wasn't for them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had no choice. I'm 48 years old. I still barely curse in front of my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I curse. You know what I'm saying?
We're so from Boston. I know. So we grew up with it.
I hold it back. And it's a respect thing. And here's an interesting thing. In the police academy, my instructor is an amazing guy, Boris Prevetera. He says to me, he says to all of us, when you go to deal with people, you're in like a lamb, out like a lion. And I'm like, in like a lamb, out like a lion. You go in, even keeled, no matter what is going on. Obviously, if there's bullets whizzing over your head, it's another story. But you get two people, you show up, and everyone's arguing and yelling and screaming. If you go in there yelling and screaming, you got nowhere else to go. Bad things happen after that. You go in there and talk to people. You'd be surprised if you haven't already dealt with that, how people come down when you're talking to them.
Oh, whoa, I deal whoa, with
hold
it with
on
students.
A minute. Yeah. Yeah, hold on a minute. Let me talk to you. Let me holler at you. Let me pull you over here. And then your partner pulls the other one off to the side. What's going on? What's up? Talking to people and getting eye to eye on their level. I'm not better than. I'm not above you. I'm right there with you. I'm human. You're human. I'm just doing a job. It's so important. And people, we have to take it upon ourselves to educate ourselves. I can't sit here and know. I don't know anything about being, I don't know, Portuguese or a woman or any of that. I can empathize. I can educate myself. What are you going through? I can ask people questions. Now, a lot of thoughtful people, there's a lot more thoughtful people out there than we really knew, that are actually going around and asking people questions.
Sure. And
sitting
it's beautiful
down,
to see it.
I wrote a post, and I think you saw it, and people really, I was just thinking and feeling, and mm-hmm. been shared like crazy. And then a woman that's a friend of a friend of a friend wrote something to me that, hey, I went and sat down next to a black man. Not that I don't know black men, but I sat down next to a man I didn't know and said, hey, what's going on? Or she asked him general questions, and he told her, this is the stuff I've been through. I feel like I'm going off on a tangent. I apologize, but that word you said, educate, education, that is how we as a whole get better. There's so many people that are just ignorant to what women go through, to what black people go through, to what anyone goes through. And how are you going to know if you don't ask questions? How do you better yourselves without learning? You know what I mean? And what black people are asking right now or demanding is equality.
Yeah.
I mean, as black people, now I'm 48 years old. We were only allowed to vote, and I might be off by a few years, roughly 60 years ago.
Crazy.
That is crazy.
It's literally insane.
My mother's 68. You know what I mean? I'm like, wait a minute. You actually, even though you were a little kid, you were alive for that.
Or getting married to somebody, you know, a white person or a black person. It's literally 2 minutes ago. It's 2 minutes ago.
2 seconds, right? Such a short time ago, you know, all these privileges that a lot of people had, and now, you know, you have the argument about, like, so many people don't understand, oh, I don't have white privilege because I'm poor. No. Mm-hmm. I say it simply like this because I was asked. Someone said, what is it that I have as a white privilege? I go, you know what that gives you? the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody knows anything about you when you're white until you open your mouth. And then they hear your accent or they hear your last name and hear your ethnicity or blah, 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 blah. The minute you open your eyes and you see me, you see a bald black guy. Maybe I'm Hispanic, but at the very least, I'm a bald black guy. You know what I'm saying? So educate ourselves. That's all we can do is educate ourselves. And it's actually, I think it's easier than people think it is. You can educate yourself just like having a conversation with someone.
Your point right there is massive. And it's exactly the premise of why I do what I do. So I started as a business professor. I've been teaching business at the college level for 13 years. I'm a motivational speaker. My favorite groups are groups that lack hope. And, you know, and that can come in some weird places. Like a lot of times, like I've worked with administrative assistants, and I'll be at an association of 1,000 administrative assistants. And you think, well, what do you mean they lack hope? They're people who have been they've been treated poorly by their supervisors forever. They're in this menial role. They go home. They're just miserable. They feel like this is life. And so for me to go in and inspire them and make them, you know, want to find their own brilliance and just wake up to life and have a zest for this game we're playing again is amazing. And so my thing is constantly educating and inspiring. And so Go Love Now, my business classes that I teach, everything's about education. And one of the things that if you went into my class versus another class, it's everything you said, every perspective matters. And so I tell everybody something very simple. I let everyone in the class know, I say, whether you understand it or not, and you can go deep or not, we are all one collective being, collective conscious. And so in that, if we're a collective being, what I challenge them to do is I say, so if we're a collective being who chose to be multiple perspective points or humans or individuals, that means that every one of those perspective points has a unique brilliance and key to bring to the collective. And so I beat that down. And so people are like, so this person's better than me because they're stronger, they're smarter. And I go, no, they have a different perspective. You're sitting here saying that's all that matters. But consciousness, God, universe chose to create all of these points. So you haven't found your brilliance yet. And you're comparing saying, but he's stronger, he's smarter, she's prettier. They're already rich. Well, here's the point. There's something, there's some gold in your existence.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we've gotten lost. We've got groups in Mississippi saying, oh, the black man's trying to take all these things, but there's no white privilege. We have nothing. And the black man saying, you know, the white man's been hurting me forever and maybe I am nothing. And so we're sitting here listening to everybody not understand their brilliance. The core of what we need to keep teaching is for people to fall in love with themselves enough, and you said it, to want to change. That change isn't just change, it's growth. You can change in multiple directions. Growth is upward. So we want to get people to grow and become the best human being they can. Because here's something that's going to happen, and we see the world doing this right now. There's a woman who was a hospice employee, and she worked with people about to pass on. And she said it was something like, the question should ask everybody is, right before they passed on, what's your biggest regret? And it was 90-something percent, like 98% said the same thing. They said, I wish I lived life more for me and essentially to find my own brilliance. So that like I lived for my family, I didn't do the job I wanted, I worked for my dad, because everyone did something for somebody else. You know what that means? You're following somebody else's dream and you're not finding the brilliance in your perspective. This world was made for you to be brilliant, Oren, me to be brilliant, Scott. You said you love your job, so you must be there. Keep bringing that brilliance. I'm going to keep teaching. I'm going to keep spreading light. That's what we've got to get people to do, because right now they're stuck. They don't have hope. We see anger. We see sadness. We see shame. And then that comes out in violence. That comes out in frustration. That comes out in hatred. Once we see the light in ourselves. And I remember you said something the other day, and you said it, and I'm going to challenge you on this right now. You said in that interview, and I want to share that at the end, Oren did an amazing interview with a few of his other officers talking about the experiences they faced, and I'd love you to go watch it. But one of the things he brought up was he said, I don't see racism ever going away anytime soon. Now, the universe receives our words, and it accepts that. And I know it feels that way, and I don't disagree with that. But collectively, if we start to shine our lights more bright, and we start to wake up, we can change anything in an instant. It doesn't feel that way. I fully agree with you. I get down on myself too, but I want to challenge you to believe that we can do it. Because dude, I grew up in the same place that you did. I mean, I heard racist comments. I mean, I made stupid comments. We've all done stupid crap, but I'm here with you now. It didn't take that long.
Right. I'll accept your challenge.
We got nothing else going on before we die.
Hey, I'm one of the most optimistic people I know. You know, I'm a half glass, half full guy, at least 98% of the time. And, I think I became more of that for my daughters.
Sure.
And because I'm like, they can't have them believe and they can't.
Yeah.
It's a tough thing speaking about racism specifically because it's always been there, right?
Yeah.
It's been there. We're less than, even though we know we're not. And then we're granted our freedom 100-something years ago. And, there's some level of semi-equality, right? It's like, it seems like for a long time, a while, that it was way less accepted. And I'm not blaming it on any one person, but I'm not saying but as in I'm going to blame it on the person anyway, but it's just kind of weird. But it's freakishly weird that over the last 3.5 years, a lot of the people that had those feelings are getting louder again. You do the math, I'm just saying. You know what I mean? And it's very weird why all of a sudden certain people suddenly feel empowered that they can just go up and say something crazy to a person of color, a woman. I'm not just saying just racism, but I mean like just
crazy stuff.
Just crazy stuff, sexism, all this. This wild stuff is always happening all the time. But 2020, all of a sudden, it's time to act a fool all at once. You know what I mean? And then you get, after that Minneapolis, there's still been more cops that are messing up, that are fucking up.
It's crazy.
I'm like,
So watch this. And this is what I want to throw out at you because you're a smart guy. You're doing the work and I love you to death. And this is what I live for is to figure out what the hell is happening. I mean, this is what I do for a living is why is this happening? Why is this? I have so many smart people around me. This is what these intellectuals and these spiritually wise people have relayed to me and I'm processing it. I don't think there's any question that what's going on right now is we were in the rat race. So there's something called the reticular activating system in your brain. And so all that means is RAS. It allows us to focus on 5 things at once, roughly. So I can be talking here thinking, hey, I'm going to make dinner and going, oh, I like orange shirt. And like, you've got a couple things. If somebody puts 10 or 15 or whatever, we'd lose our minds.
Right.
The same exact thing happens with emotions. We have effectively, in the trauma of our existence, taken the shame, the pain, the disgust, the guilt, and we've hidden it because we can't just run around crying. No one's going to accept it. Or we can't run around punching people. We can't run around going, I'm a loser. And no one accepts it. Here's what's happened. The universe has said, we are going to collectively heal. Here's the truth about the healing process. Imagine if the universe starts at our gut and starts pushing all those emotions up. Usually we have fear and shame are the lowest. Then we have like sadness and anger. They sit here. So they're literally getting pushed up. Now we have no place to go but to see him. And then this amazing thing the universe does to us that we think is just random of COVID. And we have to sit with ourselves with these emotions. The universe, God, whatever you want to call it, we're in the final exam of something that we don't realize is Earth University. So we're in a space right now where everyone's dealing with the emotions. So I pretended for a long time, I'm not racist, I'm not this. Now it comes out and I'm like, wait a minute, I can't be to blame for this. This is definitely black people. There's my anger. And then 10 minutes from now, I'm going to go, maybe it is me. And all of a sudden, sadness. You're going to see emotions all over the place for a little while. Stay the course. This is the challenge from the universe. I truly believe this because I'm slowly seeing people. Everyone says you can't change somebody on Facebook. I've watched people say blank, 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 and all of a sudden go, oh, I see your point, Scott. And I'm like, whoa. And I've seen it happen a lot where you can go follow my page because I do not stray from what I'm saying. They're trying to break you down. They're trying to say you're an idiot. You don't make sense. You're stupid. You vote for the wrong people. Stay the course. Keep shining the light. These people are working through these emotions. The minute they're processed, we're all just beautiful light beings again. And that might sound, like airy and foo-foo, woo-woo, whatever. And for a long time, I believed that stuff. But the people who are showing up around me that are teaching me, they've been super consistent. And I trust that we're going to see some more emotional upheaval. And then on the other side of that, you're going to watch organically a lot more equity. You're going to watch a lot of the beauty. You're going to see even more of what you already saw. You put something out there and the universe sends all the people to support you because you needed that support in that moment. Trust me, that's happening right now. We're just getting congested with the trash.
I'm almost speechless because it's like, I've had these little thoughts of, you know, this whole thing with COVID. I'm like, you find out, you know, your love and your liking. It's one thing to love someone, but to like them. You know what I mean? If this didn't pull, because we're a blended family. So it's me, my girlfriend, her son, and my daughters. And my daughters are here every other week for a week. And wow, thank God, everybody likes each other. You know what I'm saying? And you really find out what's up when you can't do anything. And then you really find out who you love that's not in the house with you. Because only being able to see my parents and other people through a glass of their door, because my dad is, you know, has MS, and so it's like he can't, you know, we can't take chances. It's like, it's crazy. But you know what? I constantly I love the idea of putting the right vibes out there. Or like the Tribe Called Quest album song, Vibes and Stuff. I like that. I'm with that. I'm not a negative person. I get moments like everybody else, but my baseline is hope. You know what I mean? And I'll get angry from time to time. And I've had people say some wild, wild stuff. And then I've had a chance to sit down and talk to them. I'm fairly likable, but didn't want to talk to me because of what I look like or what I do. And we get to talking and just find something that we both like.
Yep.
A movie. And then it went from there. Done this with gangsters. Done this with people that older people that older white people that were just like, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And everyone is, we're all just people. Two arms, two legs, two eyes, a heart. Everyone's got their share of problems. You wish that it would be just that easy to just say, listen to each other. Let everybody speak. It could really be that easy. As hard as that is.
It could be. But so let's give humans the benefit of the doubt here. It could be, but we're also trying to heal generation upon generation and generation of trauma. Think of this. What people are asking for right now is a fast transition to something better. The universe is giving us the way to get a fast transition. There's no way to get a fast transition if we all hit our emotions. Let's say that we all said, fine, you're right, let's switch. All of our guts would be twisted up because we'd still have hate and animosity. We'd be living this fictitious lie. We're releasing those emotions right now. Here's the truth. This is where it sucks a little bit. Somebody will get killed. Somebody will commit suicide. There will be more chaos. But I promise you, if we look at the collective and we're not so hyper-focused on, well, what about me? What happens with me? What happens with me? And I know that's not easy because I'm with you. My daughter, my wife, we're all so freaking out. The minute we just embrace the fact that the collective is healing and we can be an integral part of that, and your conversations with people who didn't seem to be able to happen, every one of those is priceless. Because what if you do that with five people? That's five times the people healing. What if you're real good at it and do it 20? What if they do it with five? What if they do it with 10? This is massively exponential. And we're in the middle of something that's moving so quick. When we look back at history, we're going to go, wow, that was an amazing shift. Like, you know, we listen to the Renaissance or like these different times. This is going to be more massive than anything, and it's happening now. So in the middle of it, we're seeing the negative because it's in our face. But you also saw the positive. So what do we pass on to our listeners right now? Just one gem that we want to share with them. What do you have? We've talked about a lot. I want them to be able to process this and go check out your other video as well. So what do we want to leave them with?
Man, there's so much. Let me try and stick to the core of what led us to this conversation, which is basically, I guess, the fight against racism and loving one another. So it sounds so simplified, but embracing one another. We don't have to necessarily love one another, at least not right away, but we do need to eventually. But embrace each other's differences.
Yes.
Just know that I'm a person, you're a person. I'm looking at you. You're taller than me. You have hair. I'm brown. I have darker. You know what I mean? I have darker skin than you. Yeah. You know, it's really like when you get down to it, the only major differences in people is pigmentation, gender, and like height and weight. They're all people. And it's like, I'm very lucky with the melting pot of people that I know and that in my family. You know, my daughter's a biracial. How funny is this? My girlfriend's son's biracial. You know what I mean? I didn't like pick her. She didn't pick me. I personally think we were supposed to be together, however long that took. You know what I mean? You and I were supposed to reconnect.
Yeah.
And I was so not like this about fate and about, because I never liked the idea of someone controlling my decisions or guiding me, you know. But some of these little things that keep happening, especially over the last year and change, mm-hmm. it's like, all right, wait a minute. You know what I mean?
And I totally know.
So I guess I went on a ramble, but really embracing each other, listening to each other, really listening to care, not listening to respond. Because when we listen to respond, we're not truly hearing what's being said to us and taking it in. And maybe you need to take it in and just feel it and let it marinate a little bit and come back a day or two later when you can really have something, give some thoughtful, true feelings about what was just said and have a legit dialogue.
I love it. I love it. And it's funny that you ended with listening, because listening is actually the first component of love. You know, we talk about listening in the model, the love model is listening to your intuitive self and listening to others. And I actually have something that I teach, and I'll share this because I think it really goes hand in hand here, is when I talk about listening, and you had mentioned it, you know, listen, caring, listening. What I challenge people to do is, as you're listening, look at the other person as equal to you. And when I say equal, a good way to do it is look at yourself as light beings. There's light, there's energy. We know we return to energy. So literally look at that person's energy and connect to it and receive what they're giving you. So right now, as you're talking, I'm physically doing that with you because I'm looking at you in Zoom, and I'm physically receiving your energy and sharing positive energy at the same time, which I've made a practice. So, and you know, to your point, when you were saying, when you're walking into a group where people are fighting or people are arguing and you come in calm like the lamb, that's this game. You go in and you bring good energy and you shift the energy. We are energy. So those beings who are in a hostile state because of a bad shift in energy that we don't know what was the, you know, precursor to that, you literally have the capacity to shift that energy. And we've been lied to. And I'm not going to get into all that, but we've been lied to it for a long time. You can walk into a room and shift energy. And so
you just have to want to.
You have to want to, and you have to understand that these people that you're looking at are different on the outside, but you're all one collective being. So, Oren, hopefully everybody got a ton out of this. I would love them to go get some more perspective on what it's like to be a black man and a police officer. Can you tell us a little bit about where to find that video?
I believe you can find it on YouTube, and it is called Cops of Color Experience Racial Biases.
So Cops of Color Also Experience Racial Bias, and we have put that in the search. We can get that. It's worth listening to. It's probably 30-40 minutes, but it's worth listening to.
Yep. So you get a couple of perspectives. Myself, I've been a police officer for just under 24 years. One of my coworkers, who's a black male, who's only been on the job for 6 years. Another younger Dominican male who's been on the job for 2.5 years in another city. And then the chief of the transit police, who is actually my cousin, and he's been on the job for 30-plus years, and he's the chief of another police department. And we all got to give our perspective.
No, so go check that out on YouTube. Again, thank you so much for being on, Oren. I know that everybody appreciate it. I love you to death. And I'm so glad that the universe reconnected us, because we need to do these things to spread some light and love.
I swear I wasn't ducking you, man. It just took a while for us to connect.
Love you, brother. Take care.
All right, brother. Take care.
This episode of The Awakening You is brought to you by the Speaking to the Heart Podcast Network. If you'd like to experience our interactive show notes for this episode, we invite you to visit us at speakingtotheheart.org.
Oregon College Savings Plan can help you support your kid's future career as a teacher. Airplane driver? No, their career as a hairstyle designer. As a dinosaur doctor? Oh, their future job as a windmill builder. No, an ice cream taster. You know what? We just don't know what they want to be yet. But while they figure it out and dream big, we're here to help you save for what comes next, whatever that may be. Learn more at OregonCollegeSavings.com.
Where you live shouldn't limit your access to quality internet. That's not fair. U.S. Cellular introduces fast and fair high-speed internet. With reliable home internet from U.S. Cellular, now there's no limit to how you stream, game, and work. So instead of this, you get this. Upgrade to fast and fair high-speed internet from U.S. Cellular. Upgrade to fair.